Welcome to Making Your Miles Count Production, an educational program to all Canadian lease owner-operators with your host, Robert Scaper.
Welcome to the Making Your Miles Count podcast. Today we're going to do a little bit of mental math, but we're also going to just introduce to you a little bit our merch. We actually don't have merchandise. We're not actually selling jackets and t-shirts, but we got them for the truck show in May, I guess it was, or April. I can't even remember. Truck World was, I think it was April. Things are going by pretty fast for me here, and I'm trying to keep up with everything. So, but I will be in a truck show, APNA truck show, June 8th and 9th, and we will have a booth there, and then we're actually doing a little seminar on the 10th, I believe. So, if anybody is in the Abbotsford, BC area, you wanted to learn a little bit about truck driving, taxes, accounting for truck drivers, by all means, either stop by and meet me at the APNA truck show. We have a booth there, or you can come to the seminar that I'm going to be putting on. It's not a full-blown seminar in terms of high production value. It is very, very informative. I'm a little bit more informal when it comes to things like seminars. And I really appreciate it. I enjoy doing question and answers at the end, that kind of thing. I have 30 plus years, probably maybe even close to 40 years of owner-operator or truck driving experience. Maybe not that long. It's only 36 I've been married, just got married, or just had an anniversary. So I would say 36, I got my driver's, I think, a year after. So I'm 35 years driving, but accounting and tax prep, I've been doing probably since I was 18. So that's over 40 years. Dang, that boy, that time flies. Some of these young guys say, you know, they're 45, 50 years of age, and say they don't know where the years went. Oh my goodness sakes, I'm 60 years of age. I remember when I was young thinking 60 years of age was ancient. Man, they're ready to die. Goodness sakes, I feel as if I just tied my shoes and I'm ready to run now. But anyway, that being said, I'm planning on doing a lot more both truck shows, not necessarily truck shows, but I'm actually going to be traveling across Canada over the next number of years, spring and fall, doing seminars for both truck drivers as well as accounting firms who serve truck drivers. So today I'm going to do an overview, if you will, on the TL2 simplified method. It's a very unique form and actually has a long history associated with it. A lot of history with it. So I'm going to, the TL2 simplified method form actually was originally designed by Canada Revenue Agency for the railroad industry. And when the trucking industry started becoming prepared for NAFTA, Canada Revenue Agency was approached by the trucking industry, specifically, I believe it was Canadian Trucking Alliance, and they said, listen, we have been paying our drivers meals on the road, plus also their cents per mile. Cents per mile obviously has taxes on it, but meals on the road is a non-taxable benefit. We're going to abandon that method of payment, and can you suggest anything to accommodate the meal expenses on the road? And so they said, well, sure, we have the TL2 simplified method that we've used for the railroad industry for many years. We'll just put the truckers into there. Now, back then, originally, I think the original was $22.50 was the dollar figure. Today, it's 69 cents. Oh, 69 cents, 60, almost 69 after you convert it all, but $69 per day, as opposed to when it's originally started, I believe it was $22.50. Could be wrong on that. I didn't go past, I think it was my history only goes back to 1984. And the conversion from non-taxable benefits to the TL2 occurred in the 1970s sometime in preparation for NAFTA. So that being said, a lot of people say, my goodness, the trucking industry must be just loaded with after-tax wealth because every truck driver getting $69 per day, and then they're out on the road 240, 250 days in a year. Boy, they must be just killing it, eh? That'd be awesome. What is it? $69. Let's say you're 245 days. 245 times 69. That's $16,905 that the average truck driver should be able to be getting as a reduction in taxes, right? Is that what everybody sees when they do the tax? Of course not. That is just the propaganda. That is just the face value of the what they call a non-refundable tax credit. Non-refundable tax credit is a tricky concept, because the concept of tax credits people understand. Actually, owner-operators understand GST, input tax credits. That means you actually get money, but you don't necessarily get a non-refundable tax credit. If you owe taxes of, say, $12,000, and you have non-refundable tax credits of $16,000, let's say that was your number for some odd reason, you only get a tax reduction of $12,000. That extra $4,000 disappears into thin air. If, for instance, you're a T4 driver and you've paid $14,000 in taxes, and you have non-refundable tax credits of $16,000, which would be too much, but let's say, for instance, it is, you, of course, your tax refund would only be $14,000, because the extra $2,000 is non-refundable. You never owed it, so therefore you never paid it, therefore you never get it back. So it's a tricky concept. The TL2 is actually produces results different from one province to the next. Let's go through it. $69 is a universal a national number that long-distance truck drivers use on their personal income tax return. Now, that $69 is reduced several different ways. The first way is it's a 20% reduction because you can only apparently use 80% of that. Now, historically, if you started from the original TL2 from way back when, it was 80%. You could use 80% of $22.50, if that was the number, or I think it was 22, whatever it was. And you could only use 80%. Then our wonderful Prime Minister, Paul Martin, said there are some people in Canada who are not paying their fair share of taxes. And he took that 80% and he reduced it way down to 50%. Now, that created a huge tax reduction for the truck driver in the trucking industry. It was a whack of taxes that suddenly truck drivers had to pay. It produced a very negative attitude towards the government taxation. Now, of course, typically what's happening in Canada right now, we're going through another cyclical tax revolt. If you study Canadian politics or Canadian taxation, Canadians hit a ceiling of tax, a tax acceptance somewhere around the late 70s or in the 70s to 80s, and they started doing a tax revolt somewhere around the 70s and early 80s. And they sort of said, hey, we're being taxed enough, that's enough, stop. And there was pushback whenever the government imposed a new tax. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the government stopped taxing stopped increasing taxes or stopped increasing the kinds of taxes. They actually did a fair bit of changes, everything from slightly increasing taxes to as well as introducing new taxes. And that is, it's a politics topic that I actually, I don't want to really get involved in. I got deep feelings on it, and I don't want to cry on a podcast. So, but anyway, that being said, the people pushed back against taxes in the 80s. And what you see is a popularization of conservative movement that reduced taxes. Now, politics in Canada is a little bit sad because when you, the average individual thinks, well, liberals increases taxes and conservatives decrease taxes. That's not always been the case in Canada because actually it was Brian Mulroney, who was a conservative, who actually brought in the GST. And pretty much, and at least in my opinion, it was one of the reasons why he was ousted, because he phenomenally increased the tax base. Now, yeah, I think he started the whole GST aspect. Now, we shouldn't really complain about the GST as an owner operator because it's an in-out tax, and we actually get all that GST back again. So it's not a big factor from if you're in a business like being an owner operator, but a citizen, a consumer, it is expensive. It is a consumption tax. And so we have to remember that GST is not exactly a very popular tax, but it was up at 7%, and then it came down to 5% again. And that was all through these waves of we're getting taxed too much, so they go from 5% to 7%, and then 7% down to 5%, and then now they have other taxes. Now they have the carbon taxes, and that actually is probably the closest. The carbon tax has enacted the highest anti-tax tax revolt type of an attitude in the Canadian citizen. Canadians are not nearly as vocal slash violent is too strong of a word, but passionate about what they're doing. There are of course some, but generally speaking, we're a very calm, quiet group of individuals. So we tend to be able to absorb taxes an awful lot more so than, say, our neighbors to the south. Now, in a situation like the neighbors to the south, I mean they revolted against Britain for it was whatever, a quarter of a percent tax on tea or something. It was ridiculous. Now we are looking at pretty much half of our annual earnings is given away to taxes in some form or another. It's not all income tax, but there's a whole bunch of government programs and fees that we have to pay, and it's beyond the point at this point where the average citizen is able to actually survive. It is far, far too tax heavy. And one of the reasons why young people have lost heart is because realistically, they don't have that much of a hope of earning enough money to get a down payment for a house. It's pretty much the parents' responsibility to either buy them a house or at least get the down payment down so that they can own their own house. Otherwise, the average individual, if their parents don't have any means, the average Canadian young person is not going to be able to own their own house, unless, of course, they move to a remote area and are able to work remotely and be able to have a high enough income in order to produce enough of a cash flow to purchase a house in an area where the housing values are much lower than, say, Vancouver or Toronto or Montreal. So beyond the fact of if they're thinking of still living in Ontario or British Columbia or Quebec, and they want to own a house, it's very, very difficult. And that's primarily, at least in my opinion, it is a big tax issue. And that is that's where Canada is right now. There was a report that just came out that Canadians are actually falling behind. Comparatively, 10 years ago, our lifestyle and our availability of cash 10 years ago was higher than it is today. And that is something that if it's not dealt with, we're going to have some very serious dominoes start to clip over. And in my opinion, it is primarily because our government is excessively bloated. In order to survive long term for our country, even if you would ignore the idea that we even are 1.45 or 6, whatever it is, trillion dollars in debt, even if you ignore that, we still are not going to be able to make it with the amount of inflation, you would call it, and be able to survive for the future, because we're actually going down instead of increasing. So it's a little bit, shouldn't say it's depressing, but let's get back to the TL2, because I think I got a little bit onto a rabbit trail. The TL2, $69 per day, like I said, is a national number. And that national number, just because it is one number nationally, does not mean you get the same dollar figure in every province. And actually, it will just pop up here, the numbers, in each individual province. For instance, Ontario, that $69 is actually $16.36. In Saskatchewan, it's $18.21. Manitoba, $18.34. Alberta, $16.83. BC, $15.56. And Quebec, if you look at it, is $9.44. It has to do with the tax code and how that last 80% of the $69 is converted into a non-refundable tax credit. That's the actual credit that you get for that. So let's say it's $16.36. The actual, if you're out on the road, let's run the numbers right now, 245 times 16.36, your tax rebate that you get out, get back from, because you're a T4 driver, or your income tax is reduced by, is $4,008.20. And like I said, that'll vary considerably depending on which province you're in. So the average TL2 is actually valued at $17.04. The value of the TL2, the highest value is Nova Scotia, which is $20.80. And so that's it makes quite a bit of difference between the provinces. But when it really comes down to it, can you actually live on $20.80? Well, maybe if you have a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter and jam, you possibly could. But realistically, if you're doing any types of restaurants or anything else on the road, almost universally, you are not able to survive on $17.04 per day nationally on an average basis. So the average truck driver long distance is actually supplementing their career with their after-tax money, a few dollars a month or a few dollars a day. If the average is $25 or $30 a day out on the road for meals, you can be, you know, $10, $12, $15 a day in supplementing your own employment. That is very, very discouraging for the entire trucking industry. And that is why I actually wrote my first book in 2006. It's been 18 years now that my book has been out there. And originally, I reintroduced the non-taxable benefits into the trucking industry And that reintroduction, I thought I was absolutely convinced that within 3 or 4 years, every accounting firm in Canada will be using non-taxable benefits, because at the time of the publication of my first book, Make Your Miles Count, Taxes, the tax savings, the net tax savings was $7,760. And the non-taxable benefits was $76.95, something like that. So I thought, man, for $7,660, just that difference alone, every accountant would look at this and say, hey, this is the perfect system. Come on, let's change how you're doing things and save you all of these taxes. Has that happened? Absolutely not. And I am the most shocked person possibly out there because of it. And there's many reasons why the entire industry hasn't taken up non-taxable benefits. But I've talked about it before. Everything from the accounting industry primarily views truck drivers, owner-operators or independent operators, as low-paying freight. They don't specialize in it. They really don't make as much money with independent operators as they do in other industries. They make much more money serving, you know, the mom and pops, the grocery stores, all of the other small businesses that they can charge an amount that is higher than what they can charge for a truck driver. Now, that's general. There are a whole bunch of different types of drivers out there. As you know, if you've been in the industry longer than 2-3 years, you have met some of the most bizarre individuals. And I've been in the industry for, like I said, over 30 years, so I've met some. There's some wonderful people, some brilliant people out there as truck drivers, and some truck drivers I have to really concentrate and make sure that I bring my A game when talking to them, because they're very, very bright. But not all are. Some are playing the independent operator industry. They say, well, let's see what happens. I'll do this. I'll sign. I will go out and let's see what happens and risk 2-3 years. And if it works, it works. Great. If it doesn't, then not. So they're really, there's no long-term plan. There's sometimes not even a short-term plan. They really don't know what they do. And when it comes to choosing an accountant, they basically ask a friend over coffee, who do you, they speak? You know, what do they think? What are this? It's very, very loose. And if you talk to the vast majority of all accounting firms out there, and if you ask them, do you serve the independent operator industry? Over 80% will say, yes, we do. We can. Because their only concept of serving the independent operator industry is the TL2 simplified method. They don't know anything else. They don't want to investigate or find out anything more than the TL2 simplified method. Everybody is trained in the firm on that, and it's too much work to investigate something else. They really have to either specialize in that industry and then they have a heart for it, or at least they're curious. But there's not enough accountants out there that are actually either curious, care. That sounds terrible, but realistically, listen, I've been defending some of these accountants for 18 years, and realistically, they still don't do it. And well, realistically, I am going to probably kick a few accountants in the behind and say, listen, guys, what you're doing is cruel and unusual tax punishment to your clients if you do not use the non-taxable benefit system. But I guess we'll see how well that works. It probably won't be very popular, but realistically, I care about the independent operator. If you own a truck and you're driving it and you're paying taxes, a significant amount of taxes, and that's a relative term, I guess. But realistically, if your accountant is using the TL2 simplified method, which generally speaking, 99% of all operators or of all accounting firms are using it, you have to, first of all, you have to assume that your accountant is using it. If you were using non-taxable benefits, it would be so different. You would know that you are using non-taxable benefits. So generally speaking, you have to assume that your accountant is using the TL2 simplified method. And that means you are paying approximately $12,000 a year too much in taxes. That's right. In 2006, when the book was first published, the savings was $7,600 and $7,660, and today it's about $12,600 is our firm's average tax savings. We have had husband and wife teams who've driven for 8, 9, 10 years, and their total tax savings has been over $250,000. And in 10 years, that is huge. That's half of a pretty significant house that they were able to pay for just by tax savings. And it makes a gigantic difference. And if you do not seriously investigate non-taxable benefits for your business, I would question your ability to operate your business successfully long term, because it makes that much of a difference. Over $1,000 per month in cash flow long term. Now you have to, there are a number of restrictions on it, but I have yet to see an individual not gain significant benefits when they use it. There is also a provision for individuals who do city work, so they're home every night. There are very specific rules for that, and the people have to be trained very specifically on how to do it. The technology that we use to calculate everything, it's two very different tracks of taxation. It's actually a 25% reduction. So instead of saving about $12,000, you would generally save about $7,000 or $8,000. Now, depending if you are local driving, depending on what your accountant actually does for meal expenses when you are driving for work in your home every night, most accountants don't allot anything at all for meals when you are home every night. There are some restrictions to it. What they can do is you have to keep all of your meal receipts. That is one way to do it. There are some things you can do in certain situations with the TL2, but it is just an absolute fraction of what long distance people do it. But for the non-taxable benefits is reduced by 25%, and so the savings is about $7,000 or $8,000. It could be a little bit more if you're, like I said, if your accountant doesn't do anything at all, which the vast majority don't, say 85-95% don't do anything at all for meals if you're home every night, then it could be $8,000 or $9,000 that you save in taxes. But that is that's something that you have to figure out. You should be understanding the system that your accountant operates with. If you don't, how about contacting our firm, and we will see if we can help you understand the basics on it. Once you're thinking about it and you're working with it on a regular basis, you can understand it. The primary thing, primary reason why people don't think about taxes is because their mindset is once a year. Okay, just put it all together, give it a, or maybe once a quarter or something like that. And then, but the actual taxes are once a year. And because you only think about it once a year, generally speaking, you don't remember one year to the next what some key points are. When you're using the non-taxable benefits system, you're actually operating on a month-by-month basis. If you're doing it legally, you're using non-taxable benefits on a month-by-month basis. And that reflects in your mind. You can see where your non-taxable benefits are and where your taxable income is. You can keep it separate, and you can visualize it a lot easier if you're doing it on a month-by-month basis. So it is a concept that needs some education, but there are I am a believer that anybody can be trained on it. Almost anybody. I've trained I think it was probably about an 8-year-old girl on it. They asked some basic questions on it, and I talked about it. And an 8-year-old girl actually understood. So that could have been a guy too, that for that matter. But realistically, anybody can learn it. The impression that an accountant says that it's too complicated for you, if that is what your accountant is telling you, that they don't have time to teach you or train you or anything like that, give you the basic understanding, you are not having your taxes done in a place that is helping you with your business. And your business, I mean, that's your lifeblood, that's your future. That's if you're not interested in the business, then just go back to being a company driver, because realistically, you're a huge savings can be made by using non-taxable benefits if you're in business. And if you're using it properly, it's a great system. So anyway, I figured I'd give you a little bit of a history on the TL2 and a little bit of difference in different provinces in Canada, and a little bit of a notification that I will be traveling in the next number of years. And maybe we can set up some meetings with your accountant or with yourself. And give us a call, and we can see, we can help you go through the basics on it. Other than that, have a great trip.
If you want to learn more ways to become a professional independent operator, subscribe to this channel. If you want to support what we do, like, share, and turn on that notification.
Thanks for stopping by Making Your Miles Count. For further Making Your Miles Count productions, call us at 877-987-9787 or download us at makingyourmilescount.com.